Ahem. This is me, Nigel Molesworth, the Curse of St. Custard's, which is the school I'm at. It is utterly wet and weedy. In fact, all schools are utterly wet and weedy. E.g., they're nothing but canes, lat, French, jog, hist, algae, geon, headmasters, school dogs, school sausages, my bro Molesworth too, and masters everywhere. The only good things about school are the boys, whiz, who are noble, brave, fearless, etc. Although you have various swats, bullies, sissies, milksops, greedy guts, and oiks with whom I'm forced to mingle. In short, all schools are a bit of a shambles, as I shall, I hope, make clear in this. N. Molesworth Esquire's newly published manifesto, Down with School.
Baggy Trousers, Molesworth, by Geoffrey Willans and Ronald Searle. Adapted for radio by Simon Littlefield and George Poles.
Give us the box brownie, Peason, you rotter. No, I won't forget to wind it on. Cool. Why didn't bust the camera with a fizzog like that? That's Peason. He is my great friend, which means we tough each other up continually. Actually, he not bad, though we argue a lot.
Jump on him!
That's Grabber Major. He's head of the school, captain of everything, and winner of Miss Joyful Prize for Raffia work. His pater is V. Rich, and has a super rolls. Enough said.
Hello, clouds. Hello, sky.
That's Fotherington Thomas. As you see, he's skipping like a girly. He's utterly wet and a sissy. We suspect he keeps dollies at home. Cheers. So these are the rogues in the rogues gallery. But none is a bigger rogue than...
Beginning of term speech by the headmaster.
Together with Molesworth, crib to real thoughts.
Hello, Basil! Hello, Timothy! Hello, John! Hello! Did you have a good halls?
Crib.
So, they're back again, the little beasts.
How is your dear mother?
Crib.
As if I cared. Give me young Mrs. Phillips every time.
Now come on, settle down, school. Right, we have 12 weeks ahead of us, and I want you to cram as much activity into them as you can. This term we have a new head of school, Grabber Major.
Father a millionaire, enough said.
You all know the virtues we prize most. Loyalty and good influence.
Have to say that sort of thing, you know.
I should also like to introduce a new master who has joined us in place of Mr. Blenkinsop, who left suddenly.
Who would have thought it? He seems so nice.
I feel sure he will occupy the place filled by his predecessor.
Not too faithfully, I sincerely hope.
Now, this term we are expecting great things on the football field. Our captain this year will be Grabber Major.
Etc., etc., until the bell ring for cocoa. As well as making speeches, headmasters are always very keen on conferences, committees, etc., when they discuss how to educate boys. Cheers. Though it doesn't seem to make much difference. We're all ignorant. Cheers, cheers, cheers. Another funny thing is that conference is always on the same day as Oxford and Cambridge. Test match, Wimbledon, Rugby International, or something of that sort. Coincidence?
A few headmasters.
Mr. Wesson thinks it's the ball cock. Mrs. Gordon thinks it's the shuttle pan, but I think it's you boys. In fact, I'm sure of it.
That one, Postlethwaite, would have bowled Bradman.
Your psychoanalyst may say one thing, Blatworthy, but I say another. And my treatment is free.
Ow!
Boo to sir.
Or... are masters necessary? Masters are all shapes and sizes. Some are thin, some have got enormous pot on them. Some smoke cigs, some smoke pipes. Poo, gosh, which ponk like anything. And nearly all have a face like a squashed tomato. Three theorems by permission of Pythagoras.
Now appearing at Garrison Theatre, Aldershot.
Proposition. All masters are weeds and love the cane.
Proof. The job of masters is to teach boys, but actually most of them prefer beer and pubs. They're always late for breakfast, not like keen alert boys who gobble forced porridge cereal with great gusto and look scorn on masters' pale yellow faces when they see a school sausage. Then it is time to ask, would you like some cream, sir? Or, gosh, look at my egg, sir. It's all runny.
Oh, my God.
I think I'm going to be...
Proposition 2. Warning, some masters are keen.
Proof. Keen masters are usually super weeds with specs. Keen masters get on with the job at once. They say...
Latin exercise 44A, Caesar. Where were we, Molesworth?
I do not reply, as I am removing toffee paper under desk. Master then say...
Where were we, Smith? Thomas? Matson 1. Gillibrand 2. Myers? Johnson? Jones?
Until he go through whole class. Of course, no one know as Caesar is utterly wet and a weed.
Proposition 3. Masters are swank pots.
Proof. Wise boys like me use flattery with masters from time to time. Masters can often be tempted by this way to talk about what they did in the war. Masters have always been brave in the war, and it is a wonder they have not all got the VC for capturing Hitler, holding the bridge, etc. In fact, if all the masters did what they say they did, it's a wonder we did not win the war in 1940. Did you have a Tommy gun during the war, sir?
Get on with the map, Molesworth one.
No, but did you, sir, really?
As a matter of fact, I did, Molesworth.
Gosh, sir. Did you shoot many Germans, sir?
Get on with your map, boy.
No, sir, but did you?
Although it has nothing to do with the lesson. I got 9,000 with one burst once.
Know the enemy, or masters at a glance.
I cannot keep order.
When I asked him the supine stem of confiteor, the fool didn't know.
The crested creeps, they're baiting.
And lastly...
No, boy, the spirit of tolerance, you fool!
A tour of the cages.
English masters.
English masters have long hair, red ties and weeds like Wordsworth throw them into ecstasies. For prep, they always set an essay, if they can think of one. In the good old days, it was always something like...
What I did in the holidays, a country ramble, a day at a railway station.
Now English masters have advanced. Cheers. And know all about T.S. Eliot, Christopher Fry, etc. And they read them so well they make Fotherington Thomas.
Hello, clouds. Hello, sky.
Glub. Here's a sissy and not worth a D. Now they give us...
A trip in a spaceship.
My favourite machine gun. What to do with masters?
Cheers. When English masters cannot think of an essay, they set us 10 lines of poetry. Sometimes we have to recite, which is girly in the extreme.
Hello, clouds. Hello, sky.
Exactly. And there is never any chance to read the famous crib, which you copied out in prep. When I recite it, it's something like...
Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, creeps in the last sill.
No!
Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this...
Out!
Out?
Brief candle!
Yes, I know, sir. Half a mo, sir. Tis an unweeded syllable, an armour.
No!
Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow...
Etc. In other words, quite frankly, I just don't know it. Also... Quite frankly, I couldn't care less.
Latin masters.
Latin masters teach Lat because it's the first period after break. If you wake up long enough, you find that everything in Lat happened a long time ago. Latin masters, therefore, are always old and bent with age. You can hear their footsteps a long way off, giving plenty of time to put away all sweets, marbles, white mice, bludgeons, daggers, coshes and swords. Whiz!
French masters.
According to ancient tradition, no French master can keep order. When he does get a chance to speak, the French masters speak of Armand, a small boy who wears a striped shirt and a round sissy straw hat like a girlie. One day he is eating his breakfast when his father say,
"Today, Armand, we go for our holidays au bord de la mer."
Armand is thrilled, he say.
"Oh, Papa, how's your flower of spices?" he said.
You can see the salt he is. Then he ask,
"Are there boats on the sea?"
So, you can see, Papa is only taking him to Dieppe in order to drown him.
Maths masters.
The only way with a maths master is to have a very worried expression, stare at the book intently with a deep frown, at the same time scratch the head with the end of a pen. After 5 minutes, it's not safe to do nothing any longer. Put up hand.
Sir? Please, sir?
Yes, Molesworth?
Thinks.
It is that utter worm again.
Sir, I don't quite see this.
MB, it is essential to say you don't quite see some, as this means you are only temporarily baffled by the unruly equation, and not that you don't know the faintest about any of it.
What do you not see, Molesworth?
A worthy dolt who is making an honest effort.
It's number 6, sir. I can't make it out, sir.
It is all very simple, Molesworth. If you had been paying attention to what I was saying at the beginning of the lesson, go back to your desk and think.
This gets a boy nowhere, but it shows he is keen, which is important with maths masters.
Singing masters.
Singing masters are frequently French, maths, Latin or jog masters. This is because when they first come up to the headmaster and say,
"Any odd jobs coming, mate? Chop your wood."
The head say,
"Yes, you could take 2B in div, jog, handiwork and carpentry. But only if you play the organ and take singing as well."
He then touch his cap.
"Give you a bit of the jingle,"
he say. Then take out a mouth organ, at which headmaster flees into the woods.
Table of grips and torches for masters.
Plain blit for numbskulls.
Ow!
The single hair extraction for non-attenders. The head shave with a ruler. The portable rack for maths masters. The simple open furnace. Lessons and how to avoid them.
Botany.
Hooray for the botany walk, even though it's Fotherington Thomas's favourite lesson.
Hello, clouds. Hello, sky. Hello, crested grebe.
Now, boys, form a crocodile. Tigers in front, seniors at the rear. Off for the woods and keep your eyes skinned. What do we see at once but a little robin? No need to burst into tears, Fotherington Thomas, sweet though he be. Nor to buzz a brick at it, Molesworth, too.
Pause at the zebra. Look left, look right. Straight into the vicar's bicycle.
That's all right. We were none of us hurt. And I cannot believe that the vicar really said that, Greta.
Ho for the woods again.
Tread softly. Tippy toes. There's a bunny sprinting to its warren, and there, a rook. You can see what, Molesworth? A man-eating tiger. It has a horrible face with beady eyes and weedy whiskers. I'm sure you are mistaken. Oh, it was only the matron. Now, scatter for specimens, and when I blow the whistle, scamper back to the fairy ring. Fall into crook again. Tiny's in front. Back through the woods. Out into the road. Look left. Look right. Aha! The vicar's bicycle again. He did say that word, Grabber. What word? Oh.
How to avoid history.
No one have ever found a way to avoid history. It is upon us and around us all. And when you look at the cunning, villainous faces in our class, you wonder if history may not soon be worse than ever. Sometimes you can get out of a hiss lesson by seeming ill. Simply rub the face with flour, then after 10 minutes of the Battle of Agincourt, hold the brow and groan.
Thou seemest pale, Molesworth One. Is aught the matter? Come, youth, impart what ails thee.
Note, hiss masters always talk like Ivanhoe, Black Arrow, etc.
No, really, sir, I'm quite all right.
Zounds! It seemeth thou hast the plague, good scholar.
Nay, sirrah.
You talk like that, too. It's catching.
But 'tis most remarkable, I trow. Hie ye to matron's room for a phial of physic.
Nay, sir. No witch's brew from yon crone shall e'er pass my lip.
But thou shakest with the palsy, and would seem to have the ague. Huh? 'Tis surely the king's evil.
The real cheers about this method is that if the hist master go on long enough, you begin to believe that death is really upon you. On the whole, it is better to put up with a lesson and draw beetles on the blotter quietly.
Science.
Progress is striking. Let us review some of the achievements of our science group. Here are some products on which we are working. Ford the new Elizabethans. This is what orange juice have done for the world.
In the planning stage.
The Plunkett radio-controlled germ beam to attack all masters. The jet bowling attachment for cricketers delivers a ball at Mach 8. Chinaman googly attachment extra. The electronic brain does Latin sentences, tots up sums, Greek, French, German speaking up to common entrance standard, answers everything and baffles masters.
Divinity.
Div is super because everyone do very bloodthirsty things, which are pleasing to all boys. For instance, Cain did his bro Abel, which is enough to give me an idea about Molesworth too. Abraham tried to do his small son Isaac on the bonfire, but lost his nerve. David say, Yah, boo sucks to Goliath, and buzz a brick at him. Goliath falls, stunned, and what David did then, no giant could forgive him. He did him.
How to avoid divinity?
You could try being let down by a rope in the class dressed as an angel. Lo, who are these cherubim and seraphim who are continually crying? Master reply.
Form 3B.
They are angels, with the exception of Pisan, who have a face like a baboon. You must dismiss them, and the master obey. On the other hand, he may say,
Lo, Molesworth, write 200 lines. I must not dress up as an angel of the Lord and lower myself from the ceiling.
Cheers. It is quite a good wheeze, but probably would not work.
General knowledge.
General knowledge is simple. Russians are rotters, Americans are swankpots, the French are slack, the Germans are unspeakable, the rest are as bad, if not worse, than the above. The British are brave, super noble. Cheers, cheers, cheers. The only way for peace is for all of them to dive into the sea and end it all. This will leave the whole place to the mountain goats who inhabit Turkey, and they may make a better job of it.
In loco parentis.
Boys usually have two parents. These parents are very like their dear children. Cheers, cheers. Which shows that you can look like Pisan or Grabber, or Molesworth too, and still get on in the world. The day the parents come to school means much activity and preparation, all rude drawings and propaganda. Are wiped off the blackboard, school dog is muzzled, boys wash their necks, and the bath is cleaned. Next, masters are let out of their cells and are forced by the headmaster to toe party line.
Have you practiced sabotage against the school piano by cutting wires so that low C sounds plunk?
I have.
Do you admit this led to subversive singing of Do You Ken John Plunk in his Plunk So Gay?
I do.
Who invented the first railway engine?
Stalin.
Did you pawn the boxing cup to buy beer?
I did.
Are you guilty of everything?
Very guilty indeed.
Next, the bell is rung for big school, and all assemble.
Do you love the old school?
Yes!
Do you love the staff?
Yes!
Do you love the school dog?
Yes!
What do you think of the school food?
There is a pause.
Scrumptious, especially the smoked salmon.
We will sing the school song.
After this, the boys are manacled to desks. Matron is propped up in her chair, and the school gardener awakened from deep sleep in onion bed. The stage is set. Gavir, they're coming!
How to torture parents.
Once a boy has been sent to school, the die is cast. All the same, every so often parents wake up and wonder how their little dear is doing. It is then that the headmaster have to organise a play or country dancing display, which prove to parents that their sums are worth their salt and can learn lots of tricks if pressed. Like dogs or even seals. For country dancing, boys all dress up in weedy costumes, with all sorts of bells everywhere. Parents take their seats. Miss Pringle takes seat at piano and strike a huge opening chord.
Trip merrily in my little flowers of the May. Rilly dilly jingle, rilly dilly jingle, rilly dilly jingle, rilly dilly jingle.
With raspberry-o. Piano then go wham, plunk, bish, bash, zunk. While old boys dance like mad, bells jangle, dogs yap, babes cry, squadron of heavy bombers fly overhead, rainfall, Molesworth 2 gets strangled in maypole, man call for telephone bill, piano explode. And gardener cannot sleep in onion bed.
Parents at a glance.
I always think character is more important than brains.
But we always give him gin.
When I was a boy, we got six of the best every day. Made me what I am.
I've brought him some chocs, a comic, an air gun, a pan of Turkish light. And can he come home next Wednesday?
School food.
Or the piece of cod which passeth understanding. I must impress on all cads and bounders who say poo gosh when they see a school sausage to mend their ways. When faced with a frightful piece of meat which even the school dog would refuse. Do not screw up the face in any cirques or say coo, gosh, ghastly. This calls attention to oneself and makes it difficult to pinch a better piece from the next boy.
Oh, leave off, Molesworth!
Actually, whatever boys may say about the school food, the moment the deaf master say,
"May the Lord make us truly!"
Whole school descend upon the food with a roar like an H-bomb, and the 2 minutes all have been swept bare. We then have time for an interval of uplifting conversation, and then the next course come. It is always prunes. Everybody know all there is to know about prunes. But anyway, the other day I dreamed about them, and this is what happened.
The Revolt of the Prunes.
By M. Molesworth, Esquire. Once upon a time, there was a tribe of savage prunes who lived happily in the prune country, toughing each other up and indulging in cottage industries. Then, one day, Jasper, the huge headmaster with huge hairy hands, descended upon the prunes and carried them off in his case. So the prunes lay in a pantry, and each day the cook came in and chose a few to cook for the boys. At last, a prune more savage than the rest spoke up.
There is no future in this, absolutely none at all.
And do you hear what they say about us?
We must rise up.
Exactly. Why should we revolt them all the time? Why cannot they revolt us?
Yes, we shall have a revolt!
Revolt!
Next day, in the school dining room...
There are a lot of prunes about today. I don't like the look of them.
I don't like the taste of them, say Molesworth 1, who was a great wit.
Can you hear drums? What are they drumming for?
They are always drumming.
Oh, my nerves are in shreds.
So are your trousers, say Molesworth 1, wittier than ever.
Meanwhile... back in the prune camp.
Jasper the headmaster must be slain first. No prisoners will be taken. Not a boy will be spared!
I say, gosh.
I mean to say, it's prunes again.
Jasper the headmaster was the first victim.
When he saw the prunes, he gave a yell of fright. His false teeth shot across the room and lodged into the opposite wall. The boys noticed no difference.
Prunes, to me! Follow my lead!
Yes, sir!
Unfortunately, the chief prune was facing the dining room door, so the whole army of prunes charged out of sight and could not be brought into the battle.
It was half an hour later that the school realized that Jasper, the headmaster, was dead.
Murdered by the prunes!
Sound the alarm.
To horse!
Two horse. One will do. said the Duke of Molesworth, laughing.
Let us strike here. This day is called the Feast of Crisps. He which hath no stomach for these prunes, and gentlemen that lie, now a thingy shall cry for God, and God for, and to mow, and to mow, and to mow. Charge!
Say, gosh!
I mean to say, it's boys again!
And so, the two armies moved against each other.
But owing to headquarters they missed, one army fell in the river. The other in a duck pond.
The noise of the prunes drowning was so great that it woke Jasper the headmaster.
What's that?
Who had not been murdered at all, but was thinking of Latin sentences. With a croak of rage, he grasped his cane and gave six for the best to every boy in sight, before stopping to mourn the sad loss of his noble prunes. There was only one thing to do.
Jasper sat down and...
ordered more prunes.
Here endeth the dream.
Well, that is all there is to know about school. But it's all right because the end of term is in sight. Cheers, cheers, cheers. All boys get together with the super rags, wheezes, japes and pranks, pillow fights and feasts in the dorm. Noble boys make bonfires of school books and toast the staff slowly in the flames. So the bus arrives. Goodbye to all. Goodbye to school dog, to matron. One and all say, have a good holes. We weep with joy. Goodbye, headmaster. Goodbye, Peason. Actually, you are jolly D, and it is sad to leave. Goodbye to all. Goodbye.
Naughty boys in nasty schools, headmasters breaking all the rules, having fun and playing fools, smashing up the woodwork.
Molesworth by Geoffrey Willans and Ronald Searle was adapted for radio by Simon Littlefield and George Poles. It starred Rupert Grint as Molesworth, and Chris Langham, Dave Lamb, Emma Kennedy, Alex Lowe and Simon Greenall as everyone else. It was directed and produced by Elizabeth Freestone.